We try not to preach to you past 2:30 of this afternoon. Yeah, that's what I thought you said. Matthew chapter 8. Beginning at verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. I thought that's pretty blunt. Some folks worried about the preacher getting blunt sometimes, but that's Jesus. Amen. He said, let the dead bury the dead. I think that's, you have to understand something about the Middle East before we go to the book of Luke this morning. I'll just pass this on to you. Somebody said that's awful cruel talking that Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You have to remember something about the Middle East culture. They do not do things there like we do here. Here, we embalm people, and we have a family night, we have a viewing, we have a period of time, and then usually on the third day, we'll have a funeral. That is not the case in the Middle East. I've been there 10 times, I know. They bury the dead the same day they die. They don't embalm them. When they die, the very day they die, they bury them. No embalming, just take them out and bury them the same day. And Jesus looked into this man's heart, and he said, that's a poor excuse. If your father has died, you wouldn't be here. Hello. Because you bury him the same day that they die. And he was saying, in essence, this is a little strange, let those that are spiritually dead bury the physical dead. Well, now, careful here. In Luke chapter 9, and this is where we want to spend most of our time this morning. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, last part of this chapter. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Same as we read in Matthew, Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And verse 62 is where we want to spend our time this morning. Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, for the kingdom of God. Strange. I think Jesus' answer to the request of the man in verse 61, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home, at my house. That seems a little harsh to us, but really it wasn't. Jesus knew. Now get this, because this text of verse 62 is where we're going to take our time this morning. Jesus knew that if he returned home to his family, he would likely submit to the unbelieving relatives who would weep, who would reproach him, who would ridicule him, and tempt him to give up such an idea as following the Lord. So Jesus retorted to this man, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit. Is fit for the kingdom of God. Trust that the Lord will help us this morning. I was reading in several books of mine that I've got at home, and not too often I spend a great deal of time or even pass on to others some prayers that I have read in books, and especially in sermon books. Usually the old-time writers of years gone by, if they have sermons, they will include in those sermons the prayer that the preacher prayed before he preached his message. But I came across this, and I want to share this with you, and I shared some of these thoughts at the ministers' conference in Tennessee a couple weeks ago. But I want to share with you some of the things and the thoughts that I feel is important for our day. The prayer went like this. Dear Lord, often get caught in the performance trap. I want so much to fit in, to earn acceptance, to feel good about myself, and to have others do the same. Help me to say no to the ego builders, and yes, to the humble. Remind me that you don't look for performance. You look for brokenness. And then you create a miracle. Amen. What a prayer. What a prayer. I want to talk to you this morning from the text that I've read to you where Jesus said, he that puts his hands to the plow and look his back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And from that text, I'd like to talk to you this morning on the same subject that I spoke on at the ministers' conference, but I'll probably take it in a more general term here today in our home church. Failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. We have a generation that, in our culture in America now, that if you fail, it has become an accepted part of our society. You know, so big deal. No big deal about it. You just goofed. But when it comes to spiritual things, Jesus wanted to impress upon us the importance that when you start, you finish. Jesus gave us a parable one time about a man that started building. And he built, and he built, and he built. And after a while, I'm going to talk to you real close today. After a while, he ran out of money, he quit building, and became the laughingstock of the community. Because he did not sit down and count the cost before he started building. Somebody say amen. Now I want to tell you the same thing applies when it comes to spiritual things. Jesus gave us a principle. When you start something, you finish it. Come on here. I said, if you start something, you finish it. We're living in a generation in America right now where a man's word means nothing. I mean, nothing. Somebody tells you, I'll meet you at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning, it means nothing. They may be there, they may not. More than likely, they won't. And they probably won't call either to tell you they're not coming. Come on here. And that's the reason that the legal system in the business world has reverted to the contract and depend upon that written contract so much, and it's got to be signed. Hello here. It's got to be signed. And that you will do such and such in order to get paid such and such. Amen. You will agree to do that. Now, somebody said, well, Brother Savage, that's a business world. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has everything to do with principles. Jesus said, or the Bible said, rather, wasn't Jesus, one of the epistles said, be not slothful in business. That means do what you're supposed to do and do it right. Hallelujah. And we are living in a generation that has accepted failure in society so much that we have been forced into the mode of a signed contract before anybody starts anything. At almost that point, even in employment, that you've got to make an agreement. In some business places, I understand they've started that, you've got to sign an agreement that you're not going to miss but X number of days out of a year of work, because the employer's got to have the work done. And if the employee isn't there, then the work can't get done. Help me here. I lost some of you on that shuffle. But we are living in a generation where a man's word is worthless. It means nothing. They don't understand what it means. Amen. I have said, I'll do this and so. Amen. Means nothing. Failure is not an option to God. It may be in our society. It may be in American culture. That's just another hurdle in life that you just go on and act as though that nothing ever happened. And I want to share this little incident with you, and this is where I got my text for the ministers' conference and for this morning as well. Failure is not an option. It was not the original quote, actually. NASA's Gene Kranz. He was a mission control feisty flight director, and he's credited for saying failure is not an option. However, he never used that term. The script writers from the movie Apollo 13, when they were going to make this movie, went to interview the people at mission control at NASA. They asked, weren't there times when everybody, or at least a few people, just panicked? And one of the key flight controllers, Jerry Bostick, he responded and he said this, and I like it. He said, no, when bad things happened, we just calmly laid out all the options, and failure was not one of them. We never panicked. Come on here, somebody say amen this morning. He said, we never panicked. We never gave up on finding a solution. So from that interview with Jerry Bostick, which was the key flight controller, the quote was rearranged and then given to Gene Kranz's character in the movie Apollo 13. And thus we have the coined phrase of failure is not an option. Amen. Another famous phrase that was used by Jerry Bostick is, to me, is equally powerful. Amen. Failure is inconceivable in our work. Amen. Inconceivable in our work. And I wish that more Christian people and church people could get that embedded in their mind and their heart. We have no intentions of going back. We have no expectations. If things get rough, we can always go back. Amen. I've married hundreds, and not just a hundred, hundreds, plural, of young couples through the years in marriage. And I've talked to most all of them before the ceremony time came. And I'd say this, or something similar to this, that if either one of you have in the back of your mind the thought that if things get too rough and things don't work out, that you're going to go back to mama, I have no desire to perform this wedding ceremony. We're playing for keeps. Failure is not an option. Come on here. Does that mean, I'm going to talk to y'all this morning. I'm going to get a little close, really, probably closer than you'd like for me to. But, amen, really, really, when we start out for God, amen, it's a lifetime commitment. Amen. If you got in your mind when you pray at an altar that if things get too tight or temptation gets too strong, you can always go back and revert to your old life. Amen. You have not made a commitment to Christ. This is for keeps. It's not just for time. It is for eternity. Does that mean that NASA never had a tragedy? No, it doesn't. Amen. NASA has had several tragedies in the existence of that entity. Yes, sir. Amen. They've had their units and their aircraft blown up. Amen. They've had explosions. They have had loss of life. Amen. They have had terrible incidents and tragedies in the existence of NASA. But did that mean that the NASA program was going to stop? No. Come on here. Does that mean that the situation is going to come to a screeching halt because there was a tragedy? No. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, help me, I'm going to preach to you. I want to tell you this morning, there's lots of tragedy in the church world. There are people that has made faults and failures and disappointments and amen, tragic mistakes in life. But do you think the church is going to stop because there's been tragedies? Never. Do you think that I ought to give up and quit because, amen, of a tragedy or a terrible situation? Never. Amen. Come on here. Amen. And we have preachers. We have preachers among us through the years that has made shipwreck. Amen. And did a terrible, tragic things. Do you think people and other preachers ought to quit preaching because there have been preachers that has failed? Never. Amen. This is lifetime and eternity commitment to follow God. When I got saved as a young man in my mid-teens at an altar prayer in Leesburg, Virginia, amen, there were a lot of other young people that prayed in the same revival that I prayed in. Amen. Are y'all still with me here? Come on, come on, come on. A lot of other young men and girls as well prayed in the same revival that I prayed in. And it's to my knowledge, the last I heard of those other young people, not one of them stuck it out. Not one of them is still saved today. Amen. Does that mean that I should quit and give up because none of them did? Never in this world. Failure, to me, failure is not an option. I got in this thing to finish it. I got in this thing to run this race, amen, to the end. Amen. One black man said, I was going to run on to see what the end's going to be like. Amen. And that's the way I feel about it this morning. Amen. When I put my hands to the plow, amen, in my mid-teens and committed my life, my heart to God, does that mean that there weren't some hard places in life that came my way? No, it doesn't mean that I never had a difficulty. That does not mean that I didn't get in a ridicule, even sometime from my own kin folks. Amen. Should I quit because people didn't like me? Should I quit because, come on here, because people said ugly things to me? Should I quit because, amen, somebody frowned? Amen. Never in this world. Failure is not an option. And if you get in this thing just right and settle some things in your heart before you ever start, amen, that no matter what comes, no matter what my friends do, no matter what my kin folks do, no matter what, amen, my buddies do, no matter what my, come on here, my girlfriend or boyfriend does, I'm going for God and going on for eternity. Amen. This is a lifetime commitment. Failure is not an option. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you this morning, whoo, I'm feeling better. Amen. If the devil can't get you, amen, by temptation, and sometimes he knows he can't get you to, how can I say this? He can't get you to go out and smoke a joint, amen, or do drugs. He knows he can't get you to do that. He knows he can't get you to go buy a bottle of Jack Daniels. Anybody here know what Jack Daniels is? Amen. You know, I'll tell you after service. Amen. He knows he can't get you to go to a wild thumping party somewhere. But if he can get you burned out, if he can get you discouraged, if he can work on you until, amen, the thoughts of your mind are negative. Amen. Amen. Come on here. If he can get you to the place that you get disheartened with people, amen, he will accomplish the same result in the end. Amen. Temptation doesn't bother you. Amen. But discouragement does. Disheartened does. Burnout does. Amen. Come on here. Put out with people does. Amen. But you've got to have this, amen, fact established in your heart and your mind. Failure is not an option for me. Amen. Somebody else may fail, but I'm going on. Somebody else may quit, but I'm going on. Amen. When Brother, great God, amen, when L.L. Collins penned that, amen, song that I've sang, and it's been a long time since I sang it, and I feel like I'm about ready to break out with it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray if I pray by myself. Amen. I'm going to sing if I sing by myself. If nobody else wants to go, I'm going on. Failure is not an option. Get it embedded in your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit. Amen. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, no matter what anybody else does. Somebody said, I'm going to preach to you this morning. Somebody else says, amen, I'd go to church, but my husband won't go. I want to tell you, that is one of the poorest excuses. There are millions of women who have come to church without the companion. Amen. And serve God and raise their children in the house of the Lord. Amen. And been faithful to God. Amen. And their husbands unsaved. Somebody said, I'd go to church, but my wife, come on here, my wife won't go with me. My wife won't help me. Amen. You got to settle it in your mind, in your heart, that no matter what anybody else does, I'm going to the house of God. Wife or no wife, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what's right. Amen. Come on here. Somebody said, well, I'd go to church, but my buddies. Amen. That's the poorest excuse. I hear people all the time, amen, talk about peer pressure, peer pressure, peer pressure. Amen. And peer pressure has driven them away from the altar and out of church. I want to tell you what you need to do is change peers. Change your friends. Change your buddies. Amen. Because your buddies is going to die and go to hell. Amen. And if you join up with them, you're going to die and go to hell and be lost too. Amen. You've got to fix it in your heart. Failure is not an option. When I make a commitment at the altar, I'm going for God. Buddy or no buddy, girlfriend or no girlfriend, amen, boyfriend or no boyfriend, amen. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, he that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Failure is not an option. Does that mean? Man, ain't I in a sight this morning? Does that mean that people will never leave the church? No, doesn't mean that. Because they will come on here. But the church is going on, with or without you. This is God's church. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is God's church. And failure is not an option for Massanova. It probably, some people might, would be delighted and thrilled and overjoyed if they heard, amen, that the finances went to pot, amen, and electric was cut off and the church doors closed and auctioned off at the, to the highest bidder. They would be delighted in that. But I want to tell you, amen, failure is not an option. No, this church is not going to fail. No, the, amen, it, come on here. You may not be here. You may not go on. Somebody said, well, so-and-so is going to die. Amen. That's not going to stop the work of God. God's work's going on. Amen. If 10 people die in 1 week, amen, it's not going to stop the church. The church is going on. Amen. Help me here. I've been here. This is my 29th year. Amen. I'll finish 29 years and start in 30 years. Amen. If I live and you live right here, come October the 1st of this year, I'll finish 29 years. Amen. Come on here. Come on here. I could have quit on a number of occasions. Amen. But failure is not an option. I said failure is not an option. Amen. And you've got to get it fixed in your head and in your heart. Amen. That no matter what comes or what goes, what circumstances arise, what situations develop, that you are going to go on for God. Failure is inconceivable in our work. Amen, said Jerry Bostick. Well, the Bible put it in a little different terms, but the same principle applies. And amen. In John, 1 John chapter 4, amen. He said, ye are of God, little children, and are overcome. Ye are of God, little children, and are overcome. Because, or for, greater is he that is in you. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now I want to tell you, how can you go on? How can we as a church go forward? Amen. Because we have learned to lean on one another. Come on here. You see, we really draw strength from each other. Somebody said, I can live for God without ever going to church. You might can, but you won't. Because the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. There will be some that will quit. As the manner of some is, but that much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The end time. The coming of the Lord. When the tragedies of life, the explosions, the convulsions, the eruptions of life, amen, are taking place on every side. Come on here. Somebody say amen. 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 Wow. What do? I go to the house of God. David said, man, am I feeling better here. He said, my feet had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, my feet had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Until I went to the house of the Lord, and he said, I saw their end. Amen. I saw what the end is. I saw what the result would be if I give in. Amen. If I allowed myself to slip back, amen, and go the way that the rest of them are going, I see what's going to happen. Amen. I see where hell is. I see the torment of eternity. And he said, I saw therein, and I decided right then, it's to me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We lean on each other. We draw strength from one another. Come on here. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, I don't need anybody. The Bible said, no man liveth and dieth unto himself. You do need somebody. You need friends. You need dear friends. And sometimes, and I told the preachers this a couple weeks ago, I said, sometimes you need a preacher friend just to talk to. Not to tell them your troubles or your situation or your problems. Not even to mention it. Come on here. But just to be able to have somebody to talk to. And you find out that they are standing. And that gives you strength and grace to be victorious too. I heard, amen, and I'm not going to call in on you this morning, but years and years ago, I heard a church member from a certain church, somewhere in, as Joey Height would say, somewhere in these United States of America, amen, they said, so-and-so preacher fell, and if he fell, there's no way in the world I can live it. I said, that is such a foolish statement. Really, that's foolish. This is an individual experience. No matter what anybody, he that puts his hands to the plow, you started out for God. You're building a house. You're working on it. Don't quit in the middle and become the laughing stock of everybody and say, hey, man, I didn't make it and I didn't count the cost. Hey, man, get your mind made up. Amen, that no matter what anybody else does, if there's 25 preachers that fail and falter, amen, that has nothing to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We draw strength from each other, but not only do we draw strength from each other, we draw strength from the Lord. Amen. 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 Psalms 27, verse 1. Amen. The last part of that verse goes like this. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. And if you can keep that in your mind and in your heart, and whenever you're battling, and I want to tell you, this is one of the biggest stumbling blocks that when people come on a situation or circumstances in their life, instead of going to God in prayer, they quit. They do not draw strength from the Lord. And you'll get grace and help, amen, from God in a moment of prayer, more in a moment of prayer than you can get from anybody else's advice. The Lord is the strength of my life. The steps of a good man or a woman are ordered of the Lord. The psalmist put it in another term. He said, the Lord knoweth the way I take. He knows where I'm at. He knows the dilemma I'm in. He knows the problem that I'm confronted with. He knows the situation. Amen. And my confidence is not in people. My confidence is in the Lord. People's going to fail you. People's going to disappoint you. And I'll put another verse under that. Preachers will fail you. Preachers will disappoint you. But when your strength is in God, he never fails. Failure is not an option. Do you believe that's a amen? We are not, I want to say this, we are not robots. You punch a button. Now, help me here. We punch a button, and all of a sudden we go into a praise mode. Well, and a few times I wished people had buttons that I could push. But really, we are not robots. You go through problems in life. Wherever you got people, you got problems. And don't forget this. You are a problem to somebody. Glory to God. Snuck that in there, didn't I? ugly to your wife or your husband. You are a problem. How many remember years ago when Brother Benny Sutherland was here, preached, I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe it's on a Sunday morning. It might have been a Sunday night. He was preaching, amen. What's wrong with this church? Man, I'll never forget it. I will never forget it. Amen. And Benny Sutherland is a straight-faced preacher. I mean, there's no foolishness about Benny Sutherland. Man, man, man. I love to hear him preach. Some folks don't like him, but I like him. I like to hear what he says. Praise God. He helped this church when he was here. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about having to come back and preach that same sermon again. Glory to God. But he got to preaching on what's wrong with this church, and he went down the aisle of this church building, amen, it's been years ago, and he pointed his finger. I mean, he got right in people's face, and he pointed his finger, and he said, you are the problem in this church. Man, man, man. He didn't know nothing. I don't talk church problems to evangelists that come. Somebody thinks I do sometimes, because, man, I mean, the preacher eat their lunch. Amen, but I don't. Amen, and I sat there. My jaw fell open. I said, he don't know, but he did. I said, but he did. Man, man. Amen, and I want to tell you, don't you ever think that you are not a problem. You are a problem sometimes, somewhere to somebody. Amen. But let me tell you, failure is not an option. Failure is not, come on here, amen, should never be an option in a Christian's mind or their thoughts. If things get rough or if things get tight, amen, I can always cop out and go back. Amen. My friend, here this morning, let me tell you, Jesus said, he that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Is it? Come on here. Is it that he's not fit when he puts his hands to the plow? No. Amen. Amen. When he puts his hands to the plow, he's fit. But it's the looking back that makes him unfit. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. You start out for God. You go on. I'd like to talk. I wish I had all teenagers here right now. I don't, but it's all right. Brother Smith do a good job in there with them. He does. He does an excellent job. But I remember when I was courting. I got three of you raising a hand. But the rest of you want to forget it? You trying to forget it or something? Is that bad, huh? But I remember when I was courting. And I want to say this in good terms, if I can. When I met my wife, we've been married, oh my. In 3 more years, we will have been married 50. Going to have a golden. You can hardly believe that. Going to have golden. 50 years. When I met my wife, now some of y'all will understand this term. I was on the rebound. Just let that sink in a minute. I had been engaged. And I got one of those Dear John letters. My whole world. I mean. Careful, Margaret. I mean, my whole world fell apart. I thought I was going to die. I was lovesick. She let me down. Man, 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 she hurt me. But you know what? Not one time did it ever enter into my mind, as down as I was, as bad as I felt, pitiful as I felt. I was in the slough of despond. I never, ever thought about giving up God. That was not an option. And lo behold, I met Shirley Sanders. And my world brightened up again. But we are,
and I, in some time back here, two months, time gets away tomorrow, I preached several messages on emotions. Y'all remember? Yeah, some of you remember, some of you don't want to remember. But we are an emotional creature. God created us with emotions. And we have to learn how to control your emotions. Self-discipline. You ever heard of self-discipline? Good afternoon. You ever heard of self-discipline? That means when you make yourself do things because it's just simply right. For no other reason. Not because mama said so. Not because daddy said so. Not because you felt good or bad. It's just the fact that it's right. And when everything inside of you says, do the opposite, and your emotions that are running wild, amen, you just say, no, I will not. You bring yourself under control because you have self-discipline. Now, being grown up, need to be careful right here. As long as you were at home, you had a disciplinarian. At least you should have. And if you didn't, that's probably the reason you turned out the way you did. Help me here now. Careful, 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 careful. When you were at home, mama told you what to do and what not to do. Or daddy told you when to go to bed or when to get up. Told you to bring in the wood. They told you, amen, how to do and what to do and when to do. They told you to go brush your teeth. Somebody said, I don't want to make my kid do anything. If you don't make them brush their teeth, I mean make them brush their teeth. Amen. Their mouth is going to look like green moss in a short order of time. And nobody wants to kiss them. I lost you right there. So when you're home, you have somebody else that disciplines you and tells you what to do, when to do, how to do, and what not to do. But after you get grown, you no longer have mom and daddy there. And your mom and daddy does not say, all right, it's time to get up. Time to get up and go to work. Time to go shave. Glory to God. Come on here. It's time, amen, to go make some money so the babies can have a new pair of shoes. No, you can't lay in the bed at 12 o'clock today. You have to get up. Mama's not there to do that. Daddy's not there to do that. So what do you do? You have self-control, self-discipline. And you say to yourself, self, get up. Self, go to work. I don't want to go to work. Self-discipline and self-control tells you to get up. Or else your wife does. Hello here. Amen. But when you're grown, you don't have anybody watching over your shoulders. Then you go brush your teeth, go to work, amen, come home, bring your paycheck, pay the bills. You have to learn how to control your own self. Self-control. When we transfer that over to the spiritual world, you have the same principle. Amen. You have to have self-control. I'm going to church.
But sir, God don't like me.
I'm going to church.
My emotions say stay home.
I'm going to church.
Self, you're going to the altar and pray. But I don't want to go to the altar and pray. I want everybody to know I'm mad. I want everybody to know.
Self-control puts you at the altar and says, I will pray. Failure is not an option. I will do what's right simply because it's right to do right. Amen. Righteousness. Now, holiness and righteousness is on two different levels. Holiness is your relationship with God, vertical. Between you and God is holiness. That's your relationship. Amen. As I am holy, saith the Lord. Amen. That's our relationship with Him. That's our condition of the heart. Amen. Somebody said, but that doesn't have anything to do, amen, with how I treat somebody else. It has everything to do with how you treat somebody else. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? I'll tell you who knows it. God knows it. Holiness is your relationship with Him. If the heart is clean, if the heart is pure, amen, amen, there's no ill will, ill feelings, amen, of hurts. Come on here. I want to tell you something this morning. Y'all stay with me as long as you can. Amen. But hurt feelings will develop into bitterness until you despise people in the very ground they walk on. You cannot not, I've told young preachers this hundreds of times, amen, and I tell church members this morning, you cannot afford the luxury of hurt feelings. If you're going to be successful for God, amen, you cannot let a tragedy, amen, stop this program. Amen, NASA was an agency, amen, that had their mind made up, we're going to succeed. Amen. If we have a tragedy in the process, we're going on. We'll start all over again. We'll start from scratch if we have to, if that's what required. Amen. We lay out all the options. Amen. And see what's the best thing to do. But this program is going on. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, great God, help me here. You cannot afford, amen, to let ill will and hurt feelings and tragedies of life stop your experience with God. Get up, look at the options, and say, I'm going home. Failure is not an option. Neither puts his hands to the plow and looks back. Not fit. The kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do what? I can do what? No. Paul, you didn't know what you was talking about because you haven't been where I am. I mean, Paul, I got a truckload or a wagon load or a train load of troubles and problems. You don't know how big my problems are. Amen. But he said, I can do all things through Christ. Now, what does Christ do? What's Christ got to do with your everyday life? What has Christ got to do with this pulling this wagon load or train load or dump truck load of troubles and problems? Amen. How does he know what, amen, that I'm going through? He said, I can do all things through Christ that does what? That strengthens me. Amen. I'll get up after I have prayed. Amen. And the troubles have got me down. And come on here. I feel like I'm pulling a load, amen, that's bigger than I am. And I don't know whether I can make it or not. Amen. But when you get on your knees and pray to God, amen, you find out there's strength, there's grace, there's power. Amen. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Praise God. And I want to say this morning,
I don't want to get too far, too radical, but I'm going to say this anyhow. We can do anything you put your mind to do if you're willing to make the commitment. Hear me? If you are willing to make the commitment, and that is a big if. Two-letter word, if you are willing to make the commitment. I can do all things through Christ. You can do anything. I mean, you set your mind to it. You can do it. Don't tell me you can't. Amen. If your husband's not with you, you can still go on. If your wife's not with you, you can still go on. If your buddies don't want to go, you can still go on. But you got to make up your mind. I'm going to do it. Praise God. Man, 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 man. Aren't you glad for Jesus this morning? I'm just going to go ahead and finish. Is that all right with y'all? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Where I want to go is verse 7, but I'm going to start with verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. And you've heard this verse quoted probably hundreds of times. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, was given to thee by the laying on of my hands. And then he said in verse 7, God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And I like this last phrase, and of a sound mind. I got a question to ask you this morning. Are your fears immobilizing you? Have you come to a point that you're afraid that this is going to happen? What if this happens? I can't do nothing and I can't do nothing. Fear, get this. If Brother Roy is here, he'd say, if you can't remember it, write it down. Get this. Fear is false evidence appearing real. I'm afraid this is going to happen. That's fear. False evidence appearing real. What you have to do, turn it over to God and say, Lord, You know where I'm at? You know the situation? You know what's going on? Amen. And I'm going to get over top of this. Praise God. Hello. And you can. Now, God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power. Now, fear is a spirit. Huh? What the Bible said. God has not given to us the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. Where did it come from? Fear does not come from God. So, with that analysis, what is the opposite of God? The devil. Fear comes from the enemy of our soul. If you can make that identification to start with, I'm afraid this is going to happen. Amen. Amen. Fear is a spirit that hampers you, that puts you in shackles, that handcuffs you to where you, amen, can't even do what you know you need to do and ought to do, because if you do, you're afraid. Somebody say amen.
I'm afraid if I go to church and get on fire for God and pray in the altar, I'm afraid my wife won't like it. False evidence appearing real. But the other side of that is, so what if they don't? I think the three Hebrew children gave us one of the best examples of that. Amen. Of any example that you could find in the scripture. When they were brought with the choice of bowing before the king and the music while the music played and the idol that was set up. They said this, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. We will not bow down and worship your image which you have set up. For our God shall deliver us, can deliver us, will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." But I like this, what they added. But if not, we still will not bow down. But if he doesn't deliver us out of your hand, we still have our mind made up. Failure is not an option. Praise God. Hallelujah. If God allows us to go through trials and tribulations and testings and obstacles and pressures and temptations, amen, it's not going to stop us or deter us from our work for God. Man, man, man. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to say this. And I ain't done. So don't get in a hurry. Somebody said, McDonald's is waiting on me. Amen. Looking at this crowd this morning, every one of us could go probably several days without visiting McDonald's. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 is a verse of scripture that we have used for years. Amen. Now turn over, Silas, and read that. Matthew 25, verse 21. Amen. Who wants us to read that? Praise God. It's important to us this morning. I think it's very important. You got it? Read it. Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Read. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, I don't know whether you thought much about this. Ooh, I've got so much stuff this morning. Amen. At the end of your life, when you're done, when you say serenata, amen, when you pass out, when you leave this world, and you face God in eternity, come on here. You have breathed your last breath. Your heart has beat its last time. At the end of your life on earth, you are going to be evaluated and rewarded according to the works done in this body. What the Bible said. Hello. Amen. How well you handled, I'm probably getting a little tight right here. How you handled what God entrusted to you while you're here. That means everything you do, everything you have, everything you acquire, simple daily chores has eternal implications.
You need to treat everything you are, everything you have, as a trust that God has placed in your possession. It's not yours. Hello. Job was the richest man of his day, the wealthiest. Nobody had more than Job had as far as worldly material possessions is concerned. He had houses, he had lands, he had 10 wonderful children. Come on here. Amen. He had camels, he had oxen, he had all the head of cattle that anybody could ever desire. He had servants in his own house. He was the wealthiest man. But he came to this conclusion one day, and he was right, and it is still right. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are entrusted with what you had. Somebody said, God didn't have anything to do with it. I worked and paid with it with my own hands. Who gave you the strength to go to work every day? Who gave you the mind enough to do the job that you're doing? Somebody said, well, I did. Oh, really? Amen? In the Bible, Jesus said, amen, he had a bumper crop. His barns was full. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. He had more in his bumper crop of harvest than he had provisions to store it in. There was nothing wrong with what he had. There was not. Are y'all still with me? Amen. There was nothing wrong in his bumper crop. Praise God for a good bumper crop. Praise God for barns. But he didn't have enough storage facilities to take care of the bumper crop harvest. He said, this will I do. I will tear down my barns, and I will build bigger barns. And there will I bestow all of my goods. And then will I say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Am I quoting the scripture? Soul, take thine ease, for thou hast much goods laid up. It was always, look at what I've got. Look at what I've done. Look at what I'm about to do. And God said to that rich man, there was nothing wrong with him being rich, but he left God out of his life, his plans, his present, and his future. Amen. And God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall these things be that thou hast laid up? Amen. Everything you have or acquired in life is nothing more than God's blessings that he's bestowed upon you. He's given you sense enough. I wonder when you always think that. He's given you sense enough to know how to do. I've seen men in my life that was brilliant minds, wise men. In one tragic accident, and they became a vegetable and couldn't even tie their own shoes or put their own shirt on their back. Somebody else had to do it for them till the day they died. A good mind is worth more than gold and silver. When you leave God out of your life and out of your future and out of your present, I mean, everything you have in your possession, amen, is nothing more than God's blessings that he's bestowed upon you. And that, everything is a trust that God has entrusted you with. Am I doing all right this morning? Now I want to say right here, there's nothing wrong with having money. It's when money has you. Money is not the root of all evil. It is the love of money. If you do anything for another dollar, amen, come on here, you'd stay out of church on church night when revival's going on, amen, just to make another $5. I love money. Oh, am I doing all right now? Man. Hallelujah. Amen. The more, now listen. Man, come on in, young people. I'll just wait till y'all get in here. The more God gives you, the more God entrusts you with, the more he expects you to be responsible. In this verse, Matthew 25 and 21, God promises three rewards in eternity. Amen. First, God gives you his approval. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You've done a great job. Next, he's going to give you a promotion. He said, because you've been faithful over a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many, many things. So he adds responsibility to what you already have. Now, I want to tell you, if you want a promotion on the job that you're working on, amen, come on here, you've got to be responsible in the duties that you have to do already. Somebody said, well, I'm my own boss. Hello, sister. What's your name? Oh, you're his wife. Oh, yeah. Okay. Just checking that. Some of you never got that. That's over your head. Really, I know we have a lot of self-employed men in this church. Thank God, I'm glad that you're able to do that and have that responsibility. But there's probably not many of us that couldn't add on another job and do another job. And after all the jobs you've done that you've got, you'll need some more jobs to carry on at the same level where you are presently. And all of that is a trust that God has put in your possession. With one swipe of his hand, he can take it all away. Hello. Amen. He give you a promotion, but with promotion comes greater responsibility. Somebody said, I'd like to make more money. With more money comes more responsibility. Somebody said, I'd like to have a bigger family. With more kids comes more responsibility. I'll make you ruler over many things. And then he'll honor you with a celebration. Amen. Come and enjoy the blessings of God. Read the last part of that verse, Brother Silas. The joys of thy Lord, come and share in heaven's best. Now I want to tell you the only way you'll ever get to that point is if you put this principle in your mind. Failure is not an option. Most people, and I'm closing, but Jerry, you can come. Most people fail to realize that money, possessions, material, substance is both a test and a trust from God. sometimes uses finances to teach us to trust him. Or I could even say a lack of finances teach us to trust him. And many, many people, money is the test, the greatest test of all. God watches how we use it. And he watches how we use it to test how trustworthy we really are. That's kind of stuff, but I'm out of time. Failure is not an option. It's testing time. Our school children here at Massanova Christian Academy go through that whole pace. They can cheat. At least some do. Scoring, incidentally, parents, scoring violations is cheating. And some do. But when they get to the mastery test, that tells the story. The final test is coming. And we will have to give account before God. How did we do the test? This life is a test. This trial is a test. This situation is a test. This circumstances that I'm surrounded by is a test. Life is a test. And you must drive this principle. Amen. A Bostic. Down inside of you, failure is not an option. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning for your precious word. Thank you today for the truth that brings us to the principle of righteousness. Oh God, I pray this morning that you'll touch every heart and every soul in this congregation. Help us to understand that we are in this world for a testing time. And how we act and react and respond in this period of great test will determine whether we are going to heaven or go to hell when we die. Lord, oh God, feel like in my heart that every precious soul that's in this congregation this morning, saved or unsaved, really in their heart, they want to go to heaven when they die. Oh God, the enemy has sold them a rotten bill of goods, thinking that today doesn't matter, that in the end they'll be saved. When we know that your word tells us today is a day of salvation. For Christ's sake, I pray, drive it inside of us, deep within the recesses of our heart. Fear is not an option. For Christ's sake, we pray.
Birthday or anniversary.